Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest host in studio today with Mission from the Heart, Brother Harold Copeland. And we are here to meet you again. We are, as always, super excited to bring the Word of God in all of its true and natural and loving way that we enjoy doing this. And of course, we've been in this teaching series called Are You Satisfied with Jesus? And this is part 5. And as Minister Copeland continues to reveal beautiful nuggets of the Word of God, and we pray that you receive those nuggets, that it would be a blessing to your soul, but again, that it would lead you to Christ through salvation, and that you would be willing to share what you have received, what God has manifested in your heart, and that you would share it with others. Now, this is the process of a brother and sister in Christ, that we hear the Word, and through hearing the Word, we will receive Christ through salvation as our Lord and Savior. Then we would be discipled through the Word as you are today through Mission from the Heart. And from the discipling of the saints, we go into all the world and preach, teach, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that someone may come to know Him, Christ, as their own personal Savior. Now, we do this in the, and we stop, drop, and pray. That's what we call it at that particular time. But we will continue in the series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? And so we just want to take this time and opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for being a faithful listener to this ministry broadcast, that it would continue to nourish you, be a growth to you, and that it would just be a blessing to you as well as any others in your circle of influence. So we're going to get your Bibles and maybe some paper or something to write on. And if you don't have that opportunity, then just listen faithfully. Brother Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Hello, everybody. Shalom. Peace. God bless you. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, it's a great delight to be back in studio together again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. We want you to know that it's an honor and a privilege to fellowship with you concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know we love you with the love of the Lord. We appreciate you, and we thank God for your life. But most importantly, God loves you, and God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the seed of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit And this revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit will take you to God's divine plan and purpose for your life. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to this lost and dying world. And as we said, we're still on this blessed, life-changing, regenerating series. Are you satisfied with God? And we're going to jump right on in there, and we're going to dig deep to see, can we get closer, draw nigh to our Jesus, that Jesus may suffice us in every area of our lives. And we'd like to start out by reading our launch pad scripture. And our launch pad scripture comes out of the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 10.
John 14, starting at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Let me start at verse 4, reread verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him, the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Amen and amen. Man.
Amen. And we'll start out today by talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit isn't produced seasonally. The fruit of the Spirit is constant. We always have God, love, joy, and peace in our spirits. The problem with us is the same as Philip. We are looking to connect with the Lord in the wrong way. We are trying to connect with the Lord through our five senses: touch, taste, hear, see, smell. Instead of our new born again spirit, the Word of God, our new born again spirit, along with God's Holy Spirit, is that new way that we fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and it will suffice. When we try to fellowship with the Lord in the natural way, this is what the Bible calls walking in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. Let us go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16.
Galatians 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen.
Amen. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's qualify that statement out of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. Verse 8.
Romans 8:8, and we're starting in verse 8, and it reads this way. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen.
Now let's go to the book of John, the book of John, chapter 3, verse 6.
John 3, verse 6. And it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Amen.
Now today we will say flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. They are two different realms, and to truly worship God, we have to connect with him in and through our spirits. Let us read John chapter 4, 24.
John 4, 24. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen.
Amen. Now, all those scriptures we just read, I pray you meditate them. Meditate them and get them in your spirit, man, in your heart. And get those scriptures deep into your heart. As David would say, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. Those scriptures, when they come alive in you, your miracle comes. The supernatural light began to shine in your heart. And the presence of Jesus is illuminated from the inside out. And we get to know and our knower that he is ever present with us can satisfy us in every area of our life. And scripture revealed that promise to us. But sometimes we find ourselves singing songs and speaking things that are not lined up with the Word of God. Many Christians sing songs that glorify being hungry and thirsty for the Lord to the point of desperation. Now, how does that fit with Jesus' statements that we would never thirst again? It doesn't. Those songs are describing people who are longing for God in their flesh. They want him to do something that will go beyond the spiritual and manifest something in the physical, so they won't have to walk by faith. It is possible that when we are magnifying our dissatisfaction in the physical realm, we are acting like Philip and missing what is reality in the spirit. And someone might say, but I'm just not satisfied. I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. I'm fearful. And on and on and on it may go. You might not realize it, but you're making the same mistake Philip made. You're only doing an inventory on what you have in the natural. In your spirit, you are complete. Let us go to the book of Colossians, chapter 2. And let us read verses 9 and 10.
Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, boldly. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Amen.
Amen. The truth of the Word of God say that we are complete in Christ. Not in the soulless realm, not in the physical realm, but in the spirit realm, that spirit realm on the inside of us. Our born-again spirit is connected, one, made one with Holy Spirit. And the life of Christ is manifested on the inside of us. Our old nature is dead, but we live. But it's not us living on the inside. As Paul would say, it's Christ, and he is living his life in us. So in our spirit man, there's a man in there. A spirit man in our inner being, and that spirit man in our inner being is complete, just as Christ is. See, Philip was judging only by the natural realm. He wasn't aware of who Jesus was in the spirit. This is a spiritual walk. This is a supernatural walk. Likewise, when we focus on our feelings, we are living only in the carnal realm. In the spirit, we have all of the fruit of the spirit listed in Galatians 5:22. Love, the agape of God is in our spirit. Joy unspeakable, the joy that strengthens us is in our spirit, man. Peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Not as the world give I unto you. My peace I give unto you. God is long-suffering. I know he's been long-suffering with Brother Harold. Glory to God. He's true to his word. He's a gentle God. He's a good God. He's a God of faith. And he's meek and lowly because he likes to hang out with the ones he loves. He likes to hang out in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul, in our thoughts, in our emotions. And he gives us self-control, which is temperance. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus was everything the disciples could have ever wanted, but they didn't perceive it. And in our born-again spirits, we have everything we would ever need or could ever want. We are identical to Jesus right now in our spirits. Let's qualify that statement out of the book of 1 John. That's 1 John chapter 4. And we will be reading verse 17. 1 John 4 and 17.
Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Amen.
As Jesus is, so are we right now in this world, not the world to come, but in this world. And let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians. That will be 1 Corinthians. And we will go to chapter 6. And we will be reading verse 17.
First Corinthians 6, 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Amen.
Amen. I call that wall-to-wall Holy Ghost in our spirit, man. We are wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. And Ephesians tells us that the same power, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in our mortal body. And he too shall quicken us. Quicken means made alive. He too shall quicken us by that spirit, by that power. People of God, we have to go beyond our feelings. People of God, we have to go beyond our emotions. And we have to begin to walk in the spirit, walk in the word, walk in what the word says about us. Declare what is written as Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. He stood on nothing but the word of God. It is written. And to operate in the spirit and receive the spiritual blessings that we have in the heavenly places. We can't stand on circumstances and situations, and we can't worry about how big the mountain look or how low the valley may get. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. We got to walk in the word, and walking in the word is the same as walking in the spirit. And as Galatians told us earlier, we have to walk in the spirit that we may not mind the lust of the flesh. Let us go to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 63.
John 6:63. Who gives life? The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Amen.
Amen. And we have to come up with that spiritual life that God has birthed on the inside of us when we received a new birth, when we were born again. We cannot let our unrenewed mind take us back to the old, but we walk in our spirit and we stand on the word of God and put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ, and we begin to live from the inside to the outside. Before we were born again, before we received this great spirit, this great power that God, our Father, has given us, we live like the world lived, because we was otherworld. We lived in carnality. And living in carnality is living from the outside to the inside, letting the circumstance rule, letting the situation rule. Let that mountain get in the way. Let that valley keep us in the low places. But now, God has empowered us, spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, and our spirits out of his kingdom. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. When we walk in the truth of God's word, we are walking in the spirit. When we go by how we feel, we are walking after the flesh. And remember that we can't know Jesus after the flesh anymore. Some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended back into heaven were, Matthew, let's go to the book of Matthew. Matthew 28:20.
And it says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.
He's with us always, whether we can feel it, whether the circumstances show it, whether the situation show it. He's with us always to the ends of the earth. Another promise out of the book of Hebrews. Let us go to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 5.
Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen.
Never leave us. Never forsake us. No matter where we go, because of those promises, Jesus has to go with us because he can't lie. And he loves us with an everlasting love. This leaves no doubt that Jesus is always with us, whether we feel him or not. But we often are more impacted by our feelings than what God's word says. We beg the Lord to be with us when we meet in church, despite the fact he has already promised us that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. We ask him to go with us as we leave church, which is directly against what Hebrews promised of him being with us always and never leaving us or forsaking us. We go by what we feel and see instead of the revelation of God's word. That's like Philip said. He wasn't satisfied with Jesus, but he would be satisfied if he could see the Father. And sometimes we say, I know the word promised God is always with me, but I don't feel it. I want to feel something. Philip was in the very presence of the Father by being in Jesus' presence, but he missed it because he was going by sight and feeling. Likewise, Jesus is always with us. But sometimes we're often more controlled by what we feel than what we believe. This is the hour where we begin to believe the promises of God. God loves us too much to ever leave us or forsake us. And just a testimony I heard from a man of God that I respect a lot. This is his testimony, but I'm going to tell it. He had a miraculous encounter with the Lord on March 23rd, 1968. The man of God was caught up in the presence and love of God for over 4 months. He could feel God's love and acceptance. The man of God said it was awesome, but he also said that the feeling didn't last, and desperation set in. He got drafted in 1969 and had to go to Vietnam. While in Vietnam, he was desperate. He said he was desperate to get that feeling of God's love and presence back. So he began to fast. He began to pray. He began to call on God and begging God for another encounter. And he said one day, it was like God left him. He said all sensitivity to God and any awareness of God seemed to have left. He said he panicked. He said he hid in a closet in his bunker and covered himself with clothes so he wouldn't have to talk to anyone. He said he was paralyzed by fear. He said he would have given anything to get back to the way it was. He said this went on for 3 days. And on the fourth morning, he said he woke up kneeling next to his cot, praying, and things went back to normal. He said there wasn't anything special. He said he did not have another encounter where he was caught up in the love of God. He said there was no bells ringing. There was no whistle blowing. There was no angelic visitation, but he knew he was back to normal. He said he once again had the peace of knowing that the Lord was with him, whether he felt it or not. And he pondered on the scripture, and he knew what the book of Hebrews said, that God would never leave him. But he jokingly said that he believed God got tired of him griping and complaining and begging for some special epiphany where he could just go by his feelings and not walk by faith. And he said he believed that God showed him what it would feel like to be totally without him, that's without God. He said it was terrible. And he said he thinks that is what hell will be like. There will be no God and nothing good in hell. He said that is as close to hell as he ever want to come. And we thank God that God has made a new way, a great way, an awesome way, that he got a place prepared for people. And we do not have to gamble, and we do not have to guess where we will spend eternity. And Jesus has went and prepared a place, mansions, for every one of us. And these mansions, this place is all for the taking. All we have to do is believe, put our hope and trust in Jesus, have faith in God, begin to walk by faith and not by sight. And this is the moment, this is the time where Brother Harold get out of the way and he stop, drop, and pray. And we have Minister Smith come forth to take us to the cross. And under the power of the anointing, offer the greatest gift that God has to offer us, the gift of salvation through his Son and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Minister Smith?
Praise God. Praise God. This is the time. This is the moment where we get serious with our ministry, where we get serious about our life, and where we get serious about who we desire deep down inside of our heart to come to know personally. We call this moment a stop, drop, and pray moment, where we extend Christ to you, that you would accept Christ for yourself, and that you will have eternal life in heaven with Christ. Hallelujah. So this is where you need to get serious, wholehearted, and not be half-hearted, that we would pray together a prayer of salvation that you would repeat. But now it's our words, but it's your heart. And God is a God who knows us, and he knows what we will say before we say it. He knows the mind of man, and he knows the heart of man. So we, with Mission from the Heart, encourage you to come to the feet of Jesus, the throne of grace, and make your petition known to him. As humble as you know how, as we repeat these words, You make it intimate with him, my brother, my sister, and you repeat after us. Now, before we go to the prayer of salvation, listen to what it says. As I read this scripture, you prepare your heart and your mind to receive as we go to the Father. This is Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So we cannot conjure up or contemplate what we think we could do in order to get to heaven. It is only through Christ and Christ alone. It's not by works. It is only by faith. And we are saved according to his amazing grace. And Isaiah 59:2 reads, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." And this, the God of grace and mercy, provided us a way through Christ and Christ alone. And because of our wickedness and evil, sinful ways in thoughts, in words, and deeds, Jesus paid it all. He was the sacrificial lamb that hung, bled, and died for you and me. It was only by this way that we could have a right to the tree of life. Christ is that tree of life. So my brother and my sister, as we go, bow your head, lay prostrate if you can, if you will, and or bow your knee. Whatever position you can get yourself in as humbly as you know how, where you are right now. This day has been set aside and prepared for you to come to know Christ. He is patient, and he is gracious, and he set this day aside for you to come to know him. So let's pray one with another. Now, my brothers and sisters who may be listening to this broadcast, who've already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, we partner together, one with another, lifting our brother and our sister up, that they would accept him. And for those you may have been praying for over time, lift them up today as we touch and agree, coming to know that God will hear those who are real in their heart, meaning wholehearted, humble in their heart. So let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, give me this day my daily bread, the bread of life, the salvation of my heart. Christ, who I have accepted to be my Lord and Savior, this I receive as my bread of life. Trust you and you alone by faith, because you said to me, according to John 3:16, to put my trust and faith in you, I will have eternal life. Lord, I come with the dirtiness of sin bearing on me. I've said things that I know were not right. I've hurt someone's feelings. I've cursed someone out, Lord. I've said some things behind their back that I know I should not have said. Lord, the words that come out of my mouth, I know are not right according to your word. Lord, I've had thoughts of wickedness, of evil. I've had thoughts that did not line up with your word of truth. And in my actions, Lord, please forgive me. My walk has not been right. My attitude does not look pretty. But you said in your word, if I trust you and I believe you, that you would clean me up on the inside out. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, trusting and believing by faith that you paid it all on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to come to the feet of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I pray this day, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now as you rise up off your knees, head up, we encourage you at Mission from the Heart, hallelujah, to seek out a Bible teaching church as we do every broadcast in your community, that you would be baptized by submersion of water. And when you rise, the world will know that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, that you are now in the household of faith. Now we also encourage you to seek out a small group Bible study within that church, a Sunday school class or a discipleship class that would continue to grow you, that you would go in grace, sharing your testimony on how you became a child of God. Hallelujah. That others would want to know. So now, keep in mind, the devil is mad, and that's okay, because we do not have anything to fear or anyone. Why? Because God said in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. These are his promises, my brothers and sisters. These are his promises that we can stand firm on, sure-footed, unwavering in our faith, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that he lives inside your heart by way of the Holy Spirit who resides in you. The day that you have accepted Christ, he's in you. Hallelujah. That's his promise. And so we just thank you for accepting Christ as your Lord. We're excited for you. And this is a journey. It is a wonderful journey for you to walk by faith and not by sight. As we give hallelujah praises to God, Minister Copeland, you can give thanks to God for those who've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Brother Harold?
Amen. I'm super excited for those that have received the invitation the greatest invitation that we'll ever receive in our lifetime, a life-changing invitation, a life-transforming invitation, a life-saving invitation, the greatest decision that we would ever make in our lives. Congratulations. Christ lives in you. You are empowered by the power of the Holy Ghost. And you are no longer separated from God the Father. You have been adopted into his family. And the moment you prayed that prayer, all of your sins was forgiven. And notice I said all of your sins, sins of yesterday, sins of tomorrow, sins of next week, sin of forever. God will never again condemn you for sin. And if you do fall in sin, he has grace, abundant grace and abundant mercy in his unconditional love to help you get back on your feet again. And remember, we're always there for you. And we love you just like our Father loves you. And there's just nothing you can do to stop us. We just shower you with the love of God. Now remember, from the teaching, by the Spirit of God, through God's word, even the testimony of the man of God, we learned that God is always with us. Whether we have some type of emotional experience or not. And we do not have to ask God for some special touch or proof of his presence. We are satisfied with Jesus. We believe he is always with us because of what God's word says. And we do not have to feel it at all. God's word is true. Are you satisfied? Or are you looking for something more to assure you that God loves you? Many Christians are looking for more. We have people, I'm sure you do too, they come to us often and they ask us to pray that the Lord will pour his love out in their lives. And to their amazement, these are Christians. We won't pray a prayer like that. They are shocked and ask, why? Isn't it godly to ask for God's love? No. When we do that, ask for God's love, we are inferring that God's word isn't true. Let us see what the word of God says concerning the love that God has for us. Let us go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 5. And we will be reading verse 5.
Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen.
Amen. So it would be unscriptural to pray that God pour his love out on a Christian, because the promises, as Minister Smith was saying, the promises, his word promised that he has already poured his love out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And the word promised that God has already given us this Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Romans 5, same chapter. And let us read verses 8 through 10.
Verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. Read on.
Amen.
18.
And this love, it is a fruit of the Spirit that indwells us. God has never and will never take back his love for us. Hallelujah. That's enough scripture that we can just steal and allow God to love us from the inside out. Yes, Father. Love us. Love on our hearts. Love on our minds. Yes, Father. Love on our souls. Yes. Saturate our thoughts with your love. Saturate our damaged emotions with your love. Touch our imagination. Touch our intellect. Allow us to be more conscious of your loving presence. And allow us to walk, as Galatians say, in the fruit of your love, in the fruit of your spirit. Release that agape with an overflow that we can love others just like you love us. Release your joy, unspeakable. Strengthen us with your joy. Release your peace. It's ours. You want us to have it. The fruit of the Spirit. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to become our personality, that we will not demonstrate fruits of the flesh, but we demonstrate fruits of your kingdom. For we open up and know that your kingdom has come, and your will is being done in us. For your words tell us that you do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and it's according to the power that works in us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in our mortal bodies, and he too has quickened us, made us alive by the power of your Spirit, and this great new identity that you have given us in Christ. For your word says that any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh, yes, we are. That mankind, that woman, girl, boy, man, a new creature, a spiritual entity. Yes, divine. Your divine nature is released on the inside. We have come alive. What a miracle. You're a miracle-working God. And you have placed us in your hand, and you have made us a miracle. And we thank you that we are no longer of this world, that we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're sojourners in this foreign land, and this place is not our home. For we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principalities, far above powers, far above dominions, far above every evil rule, far above every name that is named. And the enemy is under our feet, and you have given us power and authority in the name of Jesus, that at his name, that every knee must bow and every tongue must confess of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that Jesus is Lord. And I declare and I decree that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he is victor. Because of this great love that you have for us, every circumstance must line up to your word. Every situation must line up to your word. Every mountain must come down, and every valley must be elevated to a level plane. Because we are victors. Victory, ours. You are everything. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our prosperity. You are our power. And by the Spirit, we cry out, Abba Father, Abba Father, Abba Father. We have a Father. We have a Father. We have a Father. And we thank you, Lord, that we know now that even when we don't feel your love, that our feelings are wrong, that you love us whether we feel it or not. And we make a decision to go by the truth revealed in your word and not by our feelings. For feelings has been misplaced in this culture today. Feelings has been exalted to a position that God never intended for them to occupy. And we're going to close with this last scripture so I can qualify that statement. Out of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19.
Ephesians 4, past healing have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Amen.
And this is describing going beyond the proper use of our feelings and being completely given over to sensuality, where feelings trump truth. We have people that will say, nobody loves me. And they know that's not true. Somebody loves them. And scripture has showed us today that God certainly loves them, but they don't feel it. And they go by their feelings. It doesn't matter what God's word says, because something negative has happened to capture their attention. And they have given themselves over to those feelings, as Ephesians 4 just told us. They don't feel his love. So they come and ask us to have the Lord to do something to show them he loved them. And we won't dignify our feelings or their feelings and insult the Lord by not believing his word and asking him to do something that he has already done. That would be similar to Philip saying, show us the Father and we would be satisfied. They are only satisfied when their flesh experience it. When something happens to allow their five senses to perceive it. And that is what the Bible calls carnality. And we are no longer of the flesh. And we no longer know each other by the flesh. But as Galatians tells us, we walk in the Spirit. And we do not mind the things of the flesh. We are led by the Spirit of the living God. And we mind the things of the Spirit of God. And we stand on nothing but the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only truth in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth. And the Word of God is the truth that sets us free. And when we hide this Word in our hearts, we know the truth. And we are no longer bound or chained by the lies and the vices of the devil. And I declare today, as we close, as the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty that we are free. At last, who the Son therefore set free is free indeed. And I release the blessing upon you. May the grace of God go before you. May the peace of God rest upon you. And may the love of God flow in you and through you, that others may see this awesome, wonderful, marvelous love that God has for people that will believe, and that a people that is not a people will come running and asking, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, we love you. God bless you. Minister Smith.
Hallelujah. And we are going to close this broadcast out today with the words of Minister Copeland, with the prayer of Minister Copeland. And that was a blessing to my soul. And I just pray, we pray that it was a blessing to you to have been encouraged, to have been empowered by the truth of the Word of God. So just remember, my brothers and sisters, that you are free. You are free indeed. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And for those who already know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you are free. We are all free to proclaim the gospel, to love in a way that the world does not know, and just to know that we are heaven-bound. Hallelujah. Always remember the word. Always remember, the word will remain forever and forever and ever. We know that the seasons come and go, they pass, grass wither, flowers fadeth, but the word, as Minister Copeland has made mention, the truth of God will remain in your heart forever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and we will meet with you on Mission from the Heart again, as long as you come ready, willing, and able. God bless you.